Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and we can read from verse 21. Verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." And especially verse 24 this evening, "being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Perhaps this passage, more than any other in the Bible, summarizes most clearly the doctrine of justification by faith. It is a most important doctrine, justification. Martin Luther said that the doctrine of justification is the test of a standing or of a falling church. The stability of any church depends on its being built on this doctrine of justification by faith in Christ alone. And it is a most precious doctrine to the believer. The children of God have seen their sin as an impassable barrier between them and God. And they recognize their inability to keep the commandments of God in order to bring them into God's favor. And what believers rely on is not their own merit, but they are trusting in Christ and his righteousness, being justified freely, not for anything that they have done, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, when the believers think about justification by faith in Christ alone, it's perhaps like taking a walk along an uncrowded beach with the blue sky above and the ocean stretching out before them. And we hope that tonight we might be enabled to, as it were, soak in the sunshine of free grace in Christ, and that in the pardon of sin and the acceptance in Christ the Beloved. We desire that it would be the experience of everyone here to experience God's grace. By grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, so that the sinner might be enabled to enjoy this mercy of God, the mercy of God in Christ, as the waves of the sea constantly coming in our direction. And how we need then to rest upon Christ, the immovable rock, the one foundation of acceptance with God, that we would be justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And with God's help, we would consider first the state of being justified. This state, being justified. It's like the blue sky above, not a cloud in the sky. There's no sin that can condemn us when we are justified by faith in Christ alone. And secondly, the source, being justified freely by his grace. Here is the ocean of the love of God, the ocean of God's grace. That is the source, being justified freely by his grace, the grace of God, a vast ocean of the love and grace of God. That's the source of justification, God's grace. And thirdly, the Savior himself being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The Savior, or the solid rock, this one foundation, this is the basis. Here's the basis of being justified. It's because of what Christ has done. It is his finished work of salvation, the redemption purchased by Christ. So we have three things tonight to consider with the Lord's help: the state, the source, and the Savior. The state, it's a state of justification, being justified. The source, freely by his grace. And the Savior, this justification is based upon the redemption that is in Christ. The state, the source, the Savior. So the Lord helping us, we begin with the state, being justified freely. Justified. What does it mean to be justified? Justification in the world's terms often means providing a reason. Justify your point. Providing some basis, some reason for procedure, or that your arguments are valid. Well, being justified is here in our passage is being just before God. God is declaring us righteous. That's what this justification is. It is God in heaven pronouncing us just or righteous. He justifies us, pronouncing us righteous in his sight. He is declaring the law to be satisfied with respect to us. In the eyes of the law, we are righteous. That is what this means, being justified. We are righteous in the sight of God. God pronounces us righteous, and he deals with us in a way of acceptance because of the finished work of Christ, which we'll go on to notice, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. But for now, we're thinking about this word justified. Justified is the opposite of condemned. Justification is the opposite of condemnation. Think of what condemnation is. The wicked are condemned. And that does not mean that they are made wicked by the fact that they are condemned. They are already sinful, already wicked. But the wicked are condemned. And so, when a person is justified, that person is not made righteous within, but God is pronouncing them just, pronouncing them righteous. They are declared righteous. We have to think of it in these terms. Justification is the opposite of condemnation. A judge is pronouncing a person innocent. It has to do with the pronouncement. They are justified, they are cleared. In terms of human courts, when a judge pronounces someone not innocent, he doesn't make that person innocent. He is already innocent, he is already clear. But now the pronouncement has been made, declared innocent. And so God, when he justifies a sinner, he is declaring that sinner righteous. In other words, the point just now is that in justification, in this act of God's free grace, justifying, declaring a person righteous, he does not in that justification make the person inwardly righteous, but he is pronouncing the person righteous. You see, it is true that when a person is justified, God also gives them holiness by his Holy Spirit, but that's a different blessing. That is another grace. When God justifies a sinner, he declares that sinner righteous in his sight. Think of it this way. If a person was driving recklessly and ran a red light and crashed through several cars and broke down the street lights and so on and caused such havoc and also brought himself an injury, well, there would be two things going on. Yes, he would need surgery. He would need an internal rectifying of his physical condition. He would need an inward healing. But there's also the legal process. There's fines he has to pay, penalties that he has incurred. Those are two different things, although it initially was caused by one thing, and that was his recklessness. But there are two things going on. His physical condition, he needs inward healing, but also there's the legal process, and he needs to pay the fine, and perhaps there will be a wealthy friend who will pay that fine, and so his name will be clear in the eyes of the courts and the law. Well, that is what we're speaking of now, the legal dealing of God with the sinner, the eyes of the law, what the law sees in regard to a particular person, being justified freely. And that is the sinner who believes in Jesus, he or she is justified freely. God pronounces that person righteous. Now, what is the basis of this justification? Again, we'll come to that. It is the redemption that is in Christ. The righteousness of Christ is imputed to the sinner. And on that basis, God pronounces him or her righteous. This justification, God pronouncing the sinner righteous, involves two things: pardon and acceptance. Pardon and acceptance. God justifies the sinner, absolving that sinner from punishment. He's not guilty. He's not under liability to punishment. He has been delivered from guilt. He has been absolved from punishment. In other words, he has forgiven his sin. When God justifies, he pardons all our sins. And secondly, he accepts us. He restores us to his favor. The justified sinner is no longer the enemy of God. That sinner is a friend of God. That sinner who is justified freely is accepted, has fellowship with God, accepted in the Beloved, accepted as righteous, righteous in the sight of God. So, as you know, the Shorter Catechism puts it this way: justification is an act of God's free grace, that is, the pronouncement that the sinner is righteous, wherein, in this justification, wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight. And as we said already, the basis of this justification is the righteousness of Christ. You see, there is a basis. There is a foundation. God does not wink at sin. He does not overlook sin. He deals with it. And that is in Christ. Christ is it's his redemption. Christ was punished for the sin of his people. We said that in justification, God declares a sinner righteous and that the law is satisfied. The law is satisfied with respect to that justified sinner. Well, how is the law satisfied? The law of God demands righteousness. The law is saying, pay me that thou owest. The law is unchangeable. It cannot be satisfied by anything else than a perfect righteousness. Well, this is what Christ gave to the law, his righteousness. The law is satisfied by Christ's righteousness, which fulfills the commandment and which suffers the penalty. And Christ's righteousness, doing both, obeying the law and suffering the penalty, is the righteousness which is the ground, the basis of our justification. being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. But think about this for a moment to understand it more clearly. God justifies the sinner on this basis, the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. That's what the Catechism, that's how it puts it. Only for this reason. Only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. Well, what does that mean? What does impute mean? Well, imputation, the word impute, means to charge or to credit to a person's account as the ground of judicial treatment. Imputation is laying to the sinner's account and God dealing with the sinner accordingly. So the righteousness of Christ is laid to the sinner's account. It is credited to the sinner's account, and God deals with the sinner on that basis. Remember, Paul said to Philemon, Onesimus had wronged Philemon and ran away from him and perhaps owed him something. Well, Paul says, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Put it on my account. I will become responsible for it. And I will pay what is due. So I have become legally responsible for Onesimus. Put it on my account. And so it is with imputation. God is justifying the sinner on the basis of Christ's righteousness imputed to the sinner, put to the sinner's account, and God dealing with the sinner on that basis, on the basis of Christ's righteousness. And so the sinner is clear. The sinner is forgiven. The sinner is accepted. And so when we think of Christ, he took the sinner's guilt. The Lord laid on him, laid to Christ's account, the sin of his people. And God dealt with Christ on that basis. Sin was charged to his account. Christ became legally responsible for the sin of his people. And so he was dealt with on that basis. Dealt with because Christ became legally responsible for the sin of his people. Christ was dealt with in that way, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And that is why sin is forgiven, because Christ suffered for that sin on the cross. And so God justifies freely because of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have that well-known verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The reward of righteousness is given to the believer, and God deals with that sinner on that basis, the basis of the righteousness of Christ. Justified freely. Justified, declared righteous. Pronounced righteous. Accepted, pardoned, and accepted as righteous in the sight of God. That's a blessed state to be in. That is a blue sky with no clouds, no clouds of sin, no clouds of guilt. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. God says in one place in Isaiah 44 and verse 22, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." The Lord Jesus told the man, the paralytic, "Be of good cheer, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." How the believer in Christ should rejoice that there is no sin that can condemn him. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? The way of access to God is open and clear because of what Christ has done. Justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God says to the believer, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Are you trusting in Christ? Are you like the thief on the cross who said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom? If Christ would but remember us, if we would be in his heart, if we would be trusting in Christ, he knows them that trust in him, and he gives eternal life to all those whom God has given to him. All those who are given to the Father come to Christ. And Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There is therefore now no condemnation, being justified freely by his grace. The Lord delights to show mercy, and that mercy is in Christ, pardoning our sin, accepting us as righteous in his sight. That is a blessed state, as clear as the blue sky and the sunshine beaming down. God is revealing to us this blessed state, and this is what David celebrated in Psalm 32 that we have repeated in Romans chapter 4. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Is this your experience? Or are you hiding your sins and pretending that you're not such a bad sinner? Oh, how we need a broken heart. We need to rend our hearts and not our garments, confess freely our sins, and trust only in the merit of Christ, that we might know the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, imputeth righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Well then, what is the source of this free grace, of this justification? It is the grace of God. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, the apostle says in Romans chapter 4, verse 16, and in our text, being justified freely by his grace. The grace of God is that ocean that is the source of justification, an endless, boundless ocean of love, God forgiving sin because he chose to do so, and he sent his Son to be that propitiation, turning away the wrath of God. Well, this is the source, being justified freely by his grace. This is what we consider in the second place, the source, freely by his grace. And it is free. Let us never forget that. That's the whole theme here, being justified freely by his grace. Salvation is not based upon any work that we can do in order to earn salvation. It is free. Justified freely by his grace. The apostle begins this passage, now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. It is without the doing of the law. That is what he means. And then in verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. The doing of the law does not enter into our justification. We are not justified by any works that we do. We are justified freely. We do not earn salvation. We don't earn the forgiveness of sins. We don't merit it. There's no merit on our part. But salvation is experienced freely, being justified freely by his grace. You see, the apostle begins or speaks previous to our text. He says this righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ. It's received, that is, by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no difference. All have sinned. No one can have any more claim to this salvation than anyone else. No one can say they have special rights and privileges that others don't have in order to make them the preferred persons to receive this righteousness. No, there's no difference. All are on the same level. All have sinned. And therefore, they are justified freely. If the sinner cannot earn God's favor, he's a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. We all deserve death. And therefore, if anyone is to be justified, if anyone is to be saved, it must be received freely. No one has the ability. No one has righteousness. No one can bring their goodness to God in order to receive the favor of God, because no one is good. None is righteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They have come short of reflecting God's glory. They don't have the original image of God to reflect God's glory, to manifest that character that is in conformity to the law of God. They come short of the glory of God, or it means they come short of the praise of God or God's approval. They cannot of themselves earn the favor of God. They cannot receive the approval of God on account of anything of their own. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. That's the only way. Because they have sinned, they cannot earn God's favor, and therefore, if they are justified, it is being justified freely. It is the free grace of God. Justification is an act of God's free grace, being justified freely by his grace, without any merit on our part, without the deeds of the law. The law cannot save us. The law is weak through our flesh. But what the law could not do, says the apostle in Romans chapter 8, God did. God sending his own son. God sent his son to work out a righteousness, to provide the foundation of acceptance with God. There is free grace. What we could not do, God did. What the law could not do in our efforts to obey the law, that could not avail. That there was no achievement there. The law is powerless to save us. What the law could not do and what we could not do by obeying the law, God did. Freely did. And that is his free grace. Being justified freely by his grace. And grace is the source then of our justification, being justified freely by his grace. Grace, of course, is unmerited favor. That's the very notion of grace. We don't deserve it. It's grace. It's free. Unmerited favor. Favor of God which we don't earn. We are justified freely. There is the source. And though Christ did indeed pay the debt, as we will go on to see, justified freely by his grace through the redemption, the payment of price that is in Christ Jesus, yet it is still grace on the part of Christ in regard to him. The salvation of his people is a matter of right. He can expect, he has the right to expect the salvation of his people because he died for them. So it's a matter of right to Christ. But in regard to us, if we believe in him, it's all of grace. We don't deserve justification. From our perspective, it's absolutely free. We don't deserve it in the least. It's not something that we can earn. It's not something that we have in some inherent right to. We don't have a right to God's grace. It's grace. It's unmerited. It's absolutely free. And so, as the larger catechism puts it, though Christ did pay the debt of his people's sins, yet inasmuch as God accepts the satisfaction from a surety, that is, someone who is a substitute, which he might have demanded of them, and did provide this surety, his own only Son, imputing his righteousness to them and requiring nothing of them for their justification but faith, which is also his gift, their justification is to them of free grace. You see, salvation originated out of the sovereign purpose of God. The salvation of sinners originated in the sovereign purpose of God. It did not come, salvation was not from any foresight that God had of people doing good works or believing. Salvation comes from the free grace of God. God was not induced. He was not compelled. He was not brought to have mercy upon sinners because he foresaw which ones would believe, and therefore he was moved to have mercy upon them. He was not moved to save those who he foresaw would perform certain good works. No, their salvation is out of his own free grace and love, his sovereign good pleasure. Justified freely by his grace. Here is the source, the ocean of God's free grace and love in his sovereign purpose to save sinners of mankind. And from that sovereign purpose and out of that free grace and love, he sent his own only begotten Son to save them. You see, the fact that justification is through the merit of Christ, and he paid the debt, and he died on the cross to purchase their salvation, that doesn't take away from the grace of justification, because it was the grace of God and the free love of God that sent his Son to suffer and die for them. It is grace from beginning to end. Herein is love, says the Apostle John, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That is, the one who would turn away the wrath of God, who would redeem his people by his blood. And so, it's free grace. God could have demanded us to make satisfaction. He could have required us to pay the debt. But instead, he accepts a substitute. Remember the thief on the cross, he was looking to Christ, and Christ was his substitute. There was no sin in Christ, but there was sin on him. Christ is the substitute, the sin bearer, taking the place of the guilty. God accepts the substitute in the place of the sinner. That's free grace. But more than that, God actually provides the substitute. He freely, graciously gives the substitute to take the place of the sinner. That is grace, his own gift, and out of his love, the love of God to sinners of mankind, drew from his bosom the gift of his own Son, justified freely by his grace. And then when you consider that what God requires of us in order to benefit from this salvation is only faith. It's only receiving and resting on Christ alone for salvation. That is all that is required in order for us to benefit from this salvation. In order for our sins to be forgiven, what is required is only faith. But what is faith? Faith is not a giving. Faith is not a doing. Faith is doing nothing but resting. And faith itself is the gift of God. That's grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Not even faith is of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God sends his Spirit to work faith in us. And faith, again, is stopping doing things. It's simply receiving and resting on Christ. But until the Holy Spirit works in us, that's all we're doing. We're trying to work out our salvation and trying to win the favor of God. But instead, what we need is to receive and rest on Christ, and that's what the Holy Spirit enables us to do, to cease from working and striving to win God's favor and just to come to an end of ourselves and rest on the Savior. Here is the source of justification, the free grace of God, sending his Son to be the sin bearer, the substitute, and graciously accepting the substitute in the place of the sinner and giving the sinner the very grace of faith to receive and rest on Christ for salvation. Now, friends, this is a salvation for these reasons, which is adapted to the needs of every one of us. No one need to think that they should be excluded from salvation because they don't have certain privileges as the Jews, or they don't have certain experiences that maybe they heard that their family members have had of deep conviction, or experienced the terrors of the law, or other privileges of godly parents, or whatever it may be. All are on the same level. Paul is saying there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely. And if one sinner can be saved, then all sinners objectively can be saved. There is nothing in themselves that excludes them from the possibility of salvation, because Christ came to save sinners, and this salvation is exactly suited to their need. In other words, there's hope for all of us. You see, what one person stands in need of, everyone stands in need of. And what is suitable to one is suitable to all, because there's no difference between any of them. They're all sinners, all need a Savior. Christ is able to save them because he has worked out a righteousness that is adapted and suitable to the needs of all. There's hope for you and me because of what Christ has done. A Savior of sinners. Yes, he died for his people alone, and they alone will be saved, but we don't know who they are. What we do know is this, that everyone is the same condition, and that this salvation is exactly suited to the needs of every single one of us tonight. That's what you need to lay hold of. That's what needs to register in your soul. He is a Savior suited to my need. He is a Savior for me. Yes, he is, friend. Come to him. Receive and rest on Christ alone for salvation. Well then, salvation is absolutely free. It's from the free grace of God, the ocean, the boundless ocean of his grace, the unending favor of God. That is the source of justification. But as we have been referring to the ground of this justification, what is the basis of it? How can God accept a sinner? How can the law be satisfied with respect to a sinner? Only on this basis, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And that is the third point, the Savior through the redemption that is in him. Here's the foundation, the solid rock upon which the sinner is to rest. If you're walking along the seashore, there's usually a lot of sand, but sometimes you might see a great rock, and that is the rock that you would want to rest upon. You know the rock is going nowhere. That's the firm foundation. And this is the reason why God can accept a guilty sinner, because of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Yes, God's grace sent his Son to suffer and die. God's love sent his only begotten Son to be the Redeemer, to pay the price, But that price is the only foundation, the one basis of our forgiveness and acceptance with God. We need Christ. We must rest on Him. Yes, being justified freely by His grace through, and through Him alone, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. A sinner cannot be accepted by looking to Muhammad or Buddha, or looking to any other way, praying to the Virgin Mary or some angel. No, it's through the redemption that is in Christ. It's not the intercessions of any friend. It's through the merit and intercession of Jesus Christ, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And more importantly, it's not from any price that we can pay. It's not from anything that we can do. It's not by any merit of our own, but the merit is in Christ. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, redemption, of course, is the payment of a price. And what we are redeemed from is the wrath of God. The payment price to redeem sinners from the wrath of God, to set them free from the wrath of God, is the ransom price, the payment price of the blood of Christ. That is the costly price that was paid to secure the release of sinners from the wrath to come, the blood of Christ. That is the price. What was the great cost to set sinners free from what they deserve? The blood of Jesus, the death of the Lord of glory. So that, as the apostle says in Romans chapter 5, we are justified by His blood. Yes, we are justified freely by His grace. But the grace of God provided a Redeemer so that we are justified by His blood, and there's no other way. If the blood of Christ was not shed, we could not be saved. But because He gave His life, a ransom for many, there is hope for sinners. And by His death, He saves sinners. He justifies them freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So this is pointing us to the finished work of Christ. And that work of Christ includes His obedience to the law and His suffering on the cross. Think again, friend, of that finished work. This is the foundation of our hope. You see, we can't just trust in the general mercy of God and think all is well. We must look to the cross. We must go to Jesus. We must rest on the finished work of Christ. And that work of Christ includes His obedience to the law and His suffering and death on Calvary. And both go together. The obedience and the death go together to form the one righteousness. The one righteousness that is imputed to the believer, and which is the basis of our acceptance with God. Remember, we are accepted as righteous in His sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. We must receive that righteousness of Christ, that righteousness which is of God, Paul says. Go back to verse 21, look at it. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, the righteousness of God. Well, what is that righteousness? It is God's own righteousness. It is the righteousness that God has provided. It is the righteousness which God accepts. It is the righteousness of Him who is God, and that is Christ. The righteousness of God, a divine righteousness. Jesus Christ, when He was obedient to the law and suffered God's wrath, remember, He is a divine person. He is God, and therefore His righteousness is divine. His righteousness is of infinite value. His righteousness to satisfy the law of God and the justice of God. Friends, that is a wonderful righteousness that is beyond our understanding. But how wonderful that is, that incomprehensible divine righteousness, which means that it perfectly satisfies. There are some people who are trying to add to the righteousness of Christ. They're trying to add to the foundation. They're trying to take that rock and bring their mortar along with it, as if they could make it more stable and more solid by bringing their own efforts. And they can just make themselves a little more acceptable to God by their own efforts. No, they're to lay that all aside. It might as well be sand. We need to look to the rock, and that is Christ. The one immovable foundation is the perfect righteousness of Christ, a divine righteousness. It is God's own righteousness. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That is His finished work. Jesus cried on the cross, "It is finished." The work was done. He obeyed and fulfilled the law. He suffered and endured God's wrath. He satisfied. He met the demands of both law and justice, and there is nothing to be added, so that the poor sinner may say, "In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I cannot add, there's nothing to add, there's nothing to pay, I have nothing to pay, I'm penniless, I'm helpless, I'm ruined, I'm bankrupt, I have no righteousness, but I fall down, helpless, into the arms of the Redeemer, resting, receiving, and resting on Christ alone for salvation. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, once again, in Him, we cannot benefit from this redemption unless we go to Jesus. We will not be forgiven. We will not be accepted with God. We will not be clothed in His righteousness unless we are resting on Christ. When we believe in Jesus, we are united to Him. We are in Him. When we trust in Him, He is our representative. When we believe in Him, His righteousness is imputed to us, received by faith alone in Christ. It's only in Him. Going to Jesus, He imputes His righteousness once again. What does impute? God accounts us righteous. And again, it's not that He treats us as if we were righteous. No, if we're believing in Christ, we are righteous. But then again, whose righteousness is it? It's not ours. It's His. We are righteous in Him. We are righteous in Him. Think of that. Christ's righteousness imputed to us. In the reckoning of God, we are righteous. And for some, perhaps it's easier to think of this way. When the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us, we might say we are clothed in His righteousness, just like our clothing. That's what strikes the eye. That's what we see. We see the person's clothing. Well, God sees the clothing of the righteousness of Christ. That is what He sees. We are accepted as righteous in His sight when we are covered by the righteousness of Christ, and He deals with us on that basis. He accepts us. He forgives our sins. He pronounces us righteous. Oh, what a blessed state. It's the blue sky. It's all clear. We are cleared of guilt. We are forgiven. All our sins are cast into the depths of the sea. There's not a single cloud in the sky of God's dealing with us, accepted in the Beloved, accepted as righteous in the sight of God, justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The grace of God, that's the source, the ocean of His love, and the waves of mercy that stretch as far as the eye can see. There's no limit. It's a boundless ocean of love, but the waves of God's mercy in Christ are constantly coming toward us as we stand on that immovable rock, resting on the one foundation, Christ and His righteousness. Is this your experience? Is this your state? Justified. Who is going to go away from this meeting tonight and think nothing of that precious word, justified? It's a precious doctrine to the believer. There's not one sin that can condemn me because I'm justified freely in Christ. Who shall lay anything to the charge against my soul? Christ died. Christ intercedes. He says to the believer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Be of good cheer. He himself is that immovable rock. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we are to rejoice in him and have no confidence in the flesh. And this is the way, friends, to enjoy peace. If you're not looking to Jesus, if you're still unconverted, and yet you want to be saved, what are you trusting in? You may intellectually say, well, we're not justified by our works. We're justified only by faith in Christ. But what are you deep inside your soul relying on? Some are perhaps relying upon their head knowledge. Well, I know the truth. I know what justification is. I know what sanctification is. I can tell you all the doctrines of the Word. And that's what they're relying on. Relying upon a systematized doctrine that they have all in their head, but they don't have it in their heart. And they say, well, we're Calvinists. Oh, there are many Calvinists. And many of them are just like the world. There's no change. We're to rely on Christ, not Calvinism. We're to look to the Savior and not rest upon systematic theology that we know by heart, but we're to have Christ and rely on Him. Because the point is, if we're relying upon something else beside Christ, if we're relying upon our resolve or our reputation in the world, or our good works, or our efforts, we're going to realize sooner or later that it's a shaky foundation. And whatever peace we may get from these other sources, whatever peace we may get from these other sources, we will find that that peace will evaporate. Because only the finished work of Christ can give us solid, lasting peace. Because remember, it's a divine righteousness. His righteousness satisfies the very justice of God and will satisfy our consciences. That is the way of peace. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The refreshing sunshine of His favor and the open access that we have to God in Christ. There is permanent peace. Peace, because the apostle says, He is our peace. Christ is our peace. And that is a peace that will not be taken from us. Yes, there may be at times of backsliding in the child of God, and that consciousness of the peace may be interrupted, but the state of justification can never be broken. It's the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And we're to go back to Christ by faith again and look firmly to Him, that the joy of our salvation may be restored and we would have that peace that passeth all understanding, keeping our hearts and minds in Christ. And the way to be holy, because without holiness no man shall see the Lord, is to look by faith to Christ. Again, it is by the Spirit that we have strength. It is by the Holy Spirit that we are sanctified. But the Spirit comes through Christ. The Spirit comes through the cross. We must go to the cross again and again. As someone has said, the more you rejoice in Christ as your Savior, the more you will be conformed to Him as your pattern. The way to be like Christ is to look to Jesus for forgiveness, to look to Him for acceptance with God. Rejoice in Christ as our Savior. We will be conformed to Him as our pattern. Let us be thankful then for this free grace, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It is the grace of God that provides this justification. It is the grace of God that provides this Savior, the grace of God that accepts Him in our place. Friend, this is what you need on the way to eternity. You say, I have nothing. I don't even have faith. Well, faith is the gift of God. Faith comes from His grace. Well, then you should be asking for this grace. Ask for the grace of faith to receive and rest on Christ, and look only to Him, only to Christ. Look away from other hopes. Look away from your privileges. Look only to Christ, because you are justified only through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. May He bless His word. Let us pray.